Very, very clever. Producer Craig Collins is playing music for our guest, who is Stephanie Springer. She's the mommy blogger, Mommy for Real. Hey, Stephanie, how are you doing? Hold on one second.
Great,
Stephanie.
Patty. How are you?
I'm good. I just saw your post on Facebook that you usually try to go to bed a little bit earlier, and you're staying up for us.
Yes, I am.
And well, now, do you get to sleep between 9:30 and 10? Are you able to accomplish that?
I totally do. I love sleep. I'm obsessed with sleep.
See, I love sleep, too. There are mornings when I wake up and I try to count the number of hours before I can go back to bed again.
I'm with you.
Yeah, but I'm bad at falling asleep, so it sounds like you've got that science down.
I do. I have it down.
I'm reading your page, and it says, if you're looking for the Mommy for Real blog, you're in the right place, which is a candid glimpse at the imperfect reality of parenthood. And that's the thing is, I'm guessing that you, like me, read all the books before you had babies. What tell us a little bit about what's going on right now.
Well, so yes, I did definitely read all the books before I became a parent. And the reason I started blogging about parenting was just to give a voice to the parts that people are uncomfortable talking about, the not so rainbows and sunshines part of parenthood, all of the complicated feelings that motherhood can bring about in women, and sometimes even the ambivalence. And that's one of the primary things that I write about.
And that's the thing is that, you know, people hold us up. I cuss a little bit when I'm not around my kids. I do stand-up comedy, and people say, I didn't know moms can talk like that, as though somehow you have shed the personality you had before you had children.
Exactly. I'm the same way, and I try not to cuss around them, but, you know, things happen sometimes. But I am the person that I was before I became a mother, and I think it's actually really good for mothers to show their children that they're people too, outside of just being mommy. I mean, I have two daughters, and I want them, when they become parents, if they choose to become parents, to keep their own identities on the table and make their own needs important, you know? So the best I can do is to demonstrate that for them so they can say, I'm a person and a parent.
Tell us a little bit about the campaign, So Glad They Told Me.
Okay, so it started with, I had a viral post last week, which was pretty exciting.
That is very cool.
You read? Yeah, it was. It was exciting. Did you read the like mega viral post called "They Should Have Warned Me"?
Oh no, I hadn't read that one. No, what was that one?
Yeah, well, that was what triggered my post. Mine was a response to that piece. She had a beautiful transition to motherhood. It was glowing, and it was basically, you know, all these people warned me about these terrible things that would happen, and well, you know, I fit right back into my jeans, and my husband and I have never been happier, and I can't stand to be away from my baby, and I just felt like,
right.
You know, it was beautiful,
and good for her. We can say good for her, but that's not all of our stories. Yes.
Exactly, and to be honest, I love newborn babies, so I did not struggle that much, especially with my second one. But I'm in the process right now of compiling an anthology about postpartum depression with my writing partner and co-editor. And so maybe my mind was really focused on reading all these experiences of women who really did struggle. But I just felt like that post didn't provide a very balanced, realistic image of motherhood. And I think there are a lot of messages out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they make women feel inadequate, you know. And so I wrote this response to that, saying that I feel that we should be providing women with a more balanced picture of what motherhood is like, so that if they do struggle, that they don't feel like there's something wrong with them, that they're defective. Why is everybody else enjoying it so much and their babies are so easy and they're not having any problems? What's wrong with me, you know?
Oh.
So
I agree.
I wrote that post as a response. Do you?
No, I agree with you completely. And look, every person's going to be different. And you're not pitting moms against each other. You just want to, you know, to be authentic to moms who don't have that rolling off the table and going right to yoga class afterwards and getting ready to have the, I'm ready to have the next baby already.
Right, exactly. And like you said, there's no right or wrong. And, you know, the so-called mommy wars is one of my biggest pet peeves. It's ridiculous. And this does not need to be that. And so the campaign that we've started, it's not about saying that the people that do love every minute and had an easy, they're not wrong. It's not wrong of them to talk about that. But let's give a voice to the other side, the side that people are usually too ashamed or embarrassed to talk about. So the campaign, So Glad They Told Me, is basically what advice, what honesty were you grateful to receive, or would you have been? Like, and I have a sign of me holding up, I'm so glad they told me. I don't have to love every minute of motherhood, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. And I think that a lot of moms are one, it takes them a long time to want to go back out and have a social life again. They're afraid that to leave their baby with anybody, you know, and there's so many cultural elements that women feel so pressured by, whether it's breastfeeding or having someone else watch their baby. There's so many, every choice you make, you feel like you could be making the wrong one.
Exactly. There's a lot of pressure, and a lot of women are worried about judgment. You know, motherhood has become like a competitive sport in some ways, and that's why I think people don't want to admit that they don't have all the answers, that they feel like they have no idea what they're doing. And that's when the silence takes over. People don't want to share, like, I don't know what to do right now. I'm really struggling. And those decisions do seem like life or death, especially when you're a new parent.
It is incredibly intense. I have two little boys. I have Griffin, who is 11, and Declan, who is 9. And my first pregnancy, you know, the first one, you're just kind of winging it. And I do feel lucky in that I didn't work during the day, and there were things that went well, but there were times that I just couldn't believe, you know, I remember, like, I couldn't remember, figure out whether or not to put him in the car first or put the groceries in the car first. And you find yourself, like, not knowing how to make easy decisions. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. It does. And it's ridiculous. And then you try to explain to people, like, the stresses of your day, and it's just embarrassing to, and you overthink everything. Mm-hmm. It's really stressful.
It is. And I will say, for my second son, now my younger son, Declan, was medically fragile when he was born. And I don't know if that's something that you would cover in the kinds of things that you're writing. But there's a whole lot of moms whose children are born with complications, and they blame themselves more often than not for things when they go wrong, too. And I talk about that quite a bit, because, like you said, there's this idea of what motherhood's supposed to be. And if you don't fit that, it's intensely depressing.
Yes, it is. And it is a lot of pressure. And I think that mothers do take on a lot of that burden. Is my child struggling at school because of something I did? Is my baby not sleeping right because of me?
Yes.
You know, like you talked about your child being medically fragile. Is that somehow my fault? I mean, I think that we're conditioned to carry these burdens that we don't need to be carrying.
I agree.
We don't know how to put them down.
Right. And I love that you're so very honest about things. Now, what kind of reaction do you get from people? I've seen other moms post blogs. Like, there's a friend of mine, Heather Lally, who also does some blogging. And when she has a story about picking her battles, and she lets her son, you know, fine, if you want to eat dinner in front of the television, I'm not going to pick this battle right now. You know, I know that we talk about the TV shows you're going to watch. And man, that the comments just blew up on that page.
Right, I know. And, you know, my article ran on Huffington Post, and that can be a tough place for comments, too, because a lot of times people come with their claws out, you know,
yes,
looking to pick a fight. You know, they feel powerful. They're behind a computer screen. This has been an interesting post because almost all of the feedback I've gotten has been overwhelmingly positive. People thanking me for writing this, saying how inadequate they felt when they read the first post, and that they just felt like I'd given voice to, you know, the other side, the experience that they had. And so many people feeling guilty and ashamed, and just a lot of really thankful responses, which was very humbling. And it made me feel again like this is an important message. You know, the women who aren't bloggers, who don't have websites, how can we help them? You know, share their truth and get their experience out there.
Absolutely. I mean, we all need to be able to put it somewhere. And even if it's just to ourselves, you know, we don't have to share it publicly, but to know that somebody else, you know, one of the things that we love saying on this show, if there's one moment in 3 hours where there's somebody out there that goes, I'm not the only one, I think you've accomplished a lot. And obviously you've struck a nerve with people.
Right. No, I totally agree. I think the Me Too response, especially as it pertains to motherhood, is so essential. It's so validating, just that lifeline of I'm not the only one who feels this way.
Yeah, we all need that at some point. So how can people follow your the hashtag? I think that this is a fun thing for people to follow more of your blogs too. It's hashtag so glad they told me.
Yeah, the hashtag is so it's hashtag so glad they told me. And whether you're just sharing one line, so glad they told me that breastfeeding really sucks, haha, no pun intended, or taking the picture of themselves holding the sign that says so glad they told me. We've got people sharing pictures of their message on a sign that they're then posting to Instagram or Twitter or Facebook with the hashtag. So yeah, following hashtag so glad they told me, or also our website, herstoriesproject.com. You can email us your photos there if you don't want to put them on social media, or we're just kind of compiling all of the messages that people are sharing using that hashtag. And it's been really fun to follow and see what types of things people are saying. I think it's always really liberating when you give people permission to speak their truth, you know?
I agree completely. We're talking to Stephanie Springer. Now, it's Springer, but it's spelled Springer.
It sounds like Jerry, but there's an E instead of an I.
Okay,
so it's Springer.
So it's that, yeah. Because it's important because that's your website. So it's, I don't want people to go to the wrong. Have you bought Springer too? Because I think I'm going to need you to do that.
Right, I should totally do that. Yeah, so it's StephanieSpringer.com. So Springer.
Will you, do you mind hanging on for one more moment for another segment so I can talk to you a little bit about music therapy too?
Oh, yeah, I'd love that. That'd be great.
Okay, we're talking to Stephanie Springer. She's a writer, blogger, and music therapist, mother, and metaphorical juggler. I'm not sure about that one. I like that a lot because it's all the other things that you're doing. More with Stephanie when I come back. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. That's a very nice little touchy-feely mama song that you've got for us, Craig.
The Spice Girls. I'm really happy that I just played some Spice Girls. That is Spice Girls.
That's, yeah, I hear Jerry. Stephanie, do you remember the song? I don't remember the song.
No, I do not.
So I'm the biggest Spice Girls fan on the show?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yes.
I think about that for a while.
Yep. We are talking to...
Congratulations.
You win a prize.
I never wanted.
You win a prize. We are talking to Stephanie Springer, who this week has written a piece for the Huffington Post, and it's called "I'm Glad Someone Told Me." And she had recently read a blog post by another mom that things were going swimmingly for her as a mom, and she wanted to make sure everyone out there knew that it doesn't always go that way. And Stephanie, in your part of your life, is also as a music therapist. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Yeah, so I've been practicing music therapy for, I think 14 years. I've got a double degree in music therapy and music education. So I have a private practice where I teach parent-child early childhood music classes. So infants, toddlers, preschoolers, and their parents. And we work on lots of developmental skills through music.
What have you learned about the connection between music and neurological development? Because I'm guessing you've done a lot of research there, because it really is influential in the way a developing mind works.
Yes, it definitely is. And actually, just north of where I am in the Denver metro area, is CSU has a huge the Biomedical Research Institute for Music Therapy. So they do a ton of research about neurological music therapy, and music is so important with little kids. It uses the whole brain at once, and so all areas of the brain are firing when you're using music with them. And one of my favorite things about practicing music therapy with kids is we can work on so many different things, but we're not working, you know.
Right.
We're playing instruments, we're singing, we're moving, but yet we're working on, you know, crossing midline and using both hands at once and practicing balance and social awareness, language, articulation, turn-taking, you know, all kinds of different things we can use.
Well, yeah, I'm reading some of the class descriptions, and I love this because you incorporate animals and motor skills and, you know, learning about the weather and things like that. And it's so smart because when you teach a child with all the senses working at the same time, it really enhances the education.
It definitely does. Yep, it's a true multi-sensory experience. And it's great for the parents, too, you know.
Well, and I see that you also have music therapy friends, which is for children from 3 to 11 years old. And you work with children who have all kinds of abilities, from Down syndrome and autism and seizure disorders. And I, yeah. As a mom of a child who has special needs, I love that you do this.
Yeah, that class is one of my favorites. I mean, every week that I teach that group, I leave just feeling completely inspired. The kids I work with are amazing, and it's just, it's so powerful to see the things that they're able to accomplish in a 45-minute music therapy interactive group with, you know, three or four or five other kids. It's exciting.
Well, with all the music therapy class, how are you finding time to write these blogs also? And you're writing a book.
Right?
Yes.
Hence the metaphorical juggler part. I have like too many spinning plates in the air or whatever that is. It's hard to fit it all in. The nice thing is my music therapy schedule is super part-time. So I teach, you know, two classes a day, and I have the bulk of my afternoons. My girls are in school, so in the afternoons I have a lot of time where I can do the freelance writing and the editing, working on the, you know, the books that we have published and the one that's coming in the fall. So, yeah, it's finding the time to do everything, and, you know, still stay sort of sane and healthy. It's a tough balancing act.
Well, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, part of that is being true to who you are as a woman, doing the things that you find engaging, whether it's writing or doing music therapy.
Yes.
And you know, I think that does make us better moms when we do what inspires us.
I totally agree. And even though I know that in my head, I still do feel guilty sometimes. You know, I think we're hardwired. I am, at any rate. Maybe not all women or mothers are. I know how important it is for me to keep those passions of mine on the table, but yet I still feel conflicted sometimes, you know, when I put those needs out there. But I definitely am a happier mother when I'm spending the time writing. It just, you know, it really fills me up. It connects me with other women, and I can't not write. You know?
Right. Well, and I was reading one of your blogs, Mean Mommy, that you didn't. And Play With Me, Mommy. See, here's the thing. My son loves, and this is from last August. I know that I'm looking at some of your featured writing, which people can find on your website, and also on mamalode.com. But your site is stephaniespringer.com, where people can find links to the things you've written and to your music therapy. But my son loves, he wants to watch, you know, whether it's when he was younger and it was Thomas the Tank Engine and things like that. I'm with you, sister. When it comes to, I don't want to watch this, mommy watch this with me, I just can't. My brain doesn't go there.
I know. I can snuggle, and we can sing together and read books, and if we want to watch a great movie, it's the imaginative play that just kills me.
Yeah, I mean, I tried for a long time to pretend, and you know, I still do, and they're fun to play with. We have to let go of the guilt. We've been talking to Stephanie Springer. Again, her website is stephaniespringer.com. That's Springer with an E, Springer. Stephanie, I hope we can talk to you again about your movement, hashtag So Glad They Told Me, and let us know how it's going.
I will. Thank you so much for having me. Talking to you.
Oh, good talking to you. I hope I was gentle on you. I know you freaked out. No freaking out anymore.
I was. Now I'm totally relaxed. So thanks. You're great.
Go to sleep. Get some rest. Thank you, Stephanie.
I will. On my way. Thanks. Good night, Patty.
Good night. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We're sending Stephanie to bed. Hopefully not everybody, but I know it might be that time.